Let's read together Exodus chapter 26. In this chapter, we have God's directions to Moses for the construction of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with tent curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain, on the selvage of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain, that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair, to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall all have the same measurements. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves. And you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps. Put the clasps into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red for the tent and a covering of badger skins above that, badger skins or porpoise skins above that. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle, westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by one ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver. 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasp. Then you shall bring the Ark of the Testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast 5 sockets of bronze for them. Let's begin our study of Exodus chapter 26 with some background notes. Have you ever seen a full-size model of the tabernacle? In Orlando, Florida, there is a theme park called the Holy Land Experience, and it is well worth attending. They have a full-size model of the tabernacle there. And my first impression was how small it was compared with the temple, for example. But remember, the tabernacle was a portable sanctuary designed primarily for the wilderness travels of the children of Israel. The tabernacle was a rectangular-shaped structure about 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. It was divided into two sections, the outer sanctuary called the Holy Place, which took up two-thirds of the tabernacle, and the inner sanctuary called the Holy of Holies, which took up one-third of the space of the tabernacle. Thus, the Holy of Holies was a perfect cube, 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. The Holy Place contained the lampstand and the table of bread, as well as the altar of incense. The Holy of Holies contained only the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. A linen veil divided the Holy Place from the Holy of Holies. As to the structure of the tabernacle, there is some question as to whether the gold-covered boards went together to form a solid box or more of a trellis-like structure, so that the full beauty of the first linen covering with the designs of the cherubim could be seen from inside the tabernacle. The entrance to the tabernacle was through an outer linen veil or screen hung on five pillars overlaid with gold. Around the tabernacle was a courtyard, which we'll read about in the next chapter. The large altar for sacrifice was in this courtyard, along with a laver for the ritual washings of the priests. Well, certainly more we could give for background, but let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points for Exodus chapter 26. Doctrine or teaching point number one. The tabernacle is a type of the sanctuary of heaven. The tabernacle is a type of the sanctuary of heaven. A type, by definition, is an Old Testament person, place, event, or item which illustrates New Testament truth. Some Old Testament types are clearly said to be types in the New Testament. Others are determined from the close parallel between the Old Testament spiritual picture and the New Testament truth it illustrates. In reference to the tabernacle, the New Testament clearly says that it is a type. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We see from these verses that the blueprint of the tabernacle that the Lord showed Moses on Mount Sinai was really patterned after the heavenly sanctuary and the heavenly Holy of Holies, where Christ, as our high priest, has entered with his own blood to atone for our sins. Thus, the tabernacle is a type of the sanctuary of heaven. Doctrinal point number two, the tabernacle is a type of the Son of God. The tabernacle is a type of the Son of God. The tabernacle is not only a type of the sanctuary of heaven, but it is also a type of the Son of God. We've seen in Exodus chapter 25 that various details of the Ark of the Covenant and the table of bread and the lampstand typify Christ. Well, the same is true of the details of the tabernacle itself. We read in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us. When you looked at the tabernacle from the outside, there was no beauty to the structure. It looked like a typical Bedouin tent of goat's hair. You know, these tents can be seen in the wilderness today. The beauty and difference of the tabernacle was seen from the inside. In the same way, from the outside, our Lord looked like the other men around him. There was no halo or bright light associated with our Lord as the incarnate Son of God. This is what Isaiah 53, verse 2 means when it says of the Messiah, "And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Our Lord's beauty was from within, his moral glory and divine character, as John 1:14 says, full of grace and truth. As the cloud of God's glory filled the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40, and was also seen by the people from the outside, covering the tabernacle and maybe emanating from the tabernacle, so the intrinsic moral glories of our Lord were seen by those who knew him and walked with him. That cloud of God's glory, which indicated God's presence, was known as the Shekinah, meaning dwelling, and certainly emphasizes the great truth that we've read in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us." The details of the tabernacle curtains and the gold-covered boards and how everything fitted together perfectly certainly emphasize how the tabernacle is a type of the Son of God in his incarnation as the perfect God-man, fully God and fully man. Even the colors of blue, purple, and scarlet are part of the picture. Blue, the heavenly color, emphasizing that he was the eternal Son of God, come from heaven. Purple, the color of royalty, emphasizing the fact that he was the true king. And red, the color of blood, emphasizing that he was the Redeemer. We know that the inner veil, which separated the holy place in the tabernacle from the Holy of Holies, is specifically a type of the human body of our Lord, which was given in sacrifice to open the way for us to enter God's presence. Remember, this inner veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom at the time of our Lord's death on the cross. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh." Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. The tabernacle is a type of the Son of God. Now, what about practical application? Start with the inside and work outward. Start with the inside and work outward. We see in Exodus chapters 25 and 26 that in reference to the structure of the tabernacle, God started with the inside and worked outward. First came the ark, which would go into the Holy of Holies. Then came the articles for the holy place. Then came the building, and in the next chapter will come the outer courtyard. This is a divine principle that we should follow. Start with the inside and work outward. In building your own life, start with your relationship with the Lord and your daily walk with him. All your decisions about job and career and ministry will then follow in proper order. The same is true with your family. Start with making your home a Christ-centered home, and then the matters of house and education and travel and vacation, etc., etc., and priorities will be in the right order. Start with the inside and work outward.